That's my issue. I feel like I know what they wanted with this. It makes sense. The song has charted to the top 60 without the remix. So I know that with the remix, with Justin Bieber's numbers, yes, it makes sense. But that is not the only focus point. We're not listening to the song thinking of numbers. We're listening to the song thinking, does it sound nice? Does it sound complete? It just sounded so basic. It was very basic. I'm a classic man. Hello, you are welcome to episode 41 of the Classic Manny Show. It is your boy, V1, the only, and boy have I missed you guys. It has been a month since I dropped my last episode. Yes, I should be embarrassed. I should be very embarrassed right now, but that break was definitely needed. I took that break for both positive and not so positive reasons. I won't say negative, but I was going through something. Okay, and I needed that time to just reset, be re-inspired, to remember why I started this podcast, and to also enjoy my summer. I think for now, I'll talk about how I've enjoyed my summer first. As I said, I hope you guys are well, have been enjoying your summer as much as you can. I know it's not really been the most summery summer in the UK, but I hope you guys have had a good time with your friends, your loved ones, or just relax as much as you can. So before I go any further, make sure to use the hashtag TCM show to let me know your thoughts on today's episode as it goes along. Don't forget to follow and subscribe to the podcast. What else? I sound like Sarkozy. What else? I put a pop on it. Don't forget to share the episode on Instagram, on your stories, on Twitter, with your friends, on all your social media platforms. It helps. It's very encouraging when you guys do that. It's only share if you enjoy it. Don't say that I forced you to go and do it. Like how Michael said that, we forced him to go and do Black Love. So if you love the podcast and you want to support it, be sharing it, be leaving a review, be rating it. I think Apple Podcast is free, Sha. Go and download Apple Podcast if you are an iPhone or iPad user. Leave a review, say how much you like the podcast, what we talk about, the guests, whatever you love about the podcast. Go and write it down and give it a cheeky 5 stars. Like, it really helps the kid, you know? It helps the kid. What do you know? So yes, please support the podcast in any way that you deem necessary or any way that you feel comfortable to support this podcast. Yes, follow me on socials, The Classic Man on Twitter. I think that the Classic Manny account is gone for good. That one's been confirmed time ago. So my current Twitter is The Classic Man, T-H-E-E Classic Man. The podcast page is TC Manny HQ on Twitter and Instagram. My personal account on Twitter is The Classic Manny. My TikTok, yes, I'm on TikTok now, guys. I'm TikToking, baby. Word to Wendy, word to Zen Wen. I'm TikToking, bitch. Yeah, so yeah, I've got TikTok, The Classic Manny as well, where I post the same content I post on my Instagram reels, but is another avenue, is another place to build an audience, Sha. So yeah, but what have I been up to? Actually, no, before I go any further, yes, there is a bit of a rebrand. I think a new theme song is coming very soon, but I couldn't wait for that to be done before I came back on the pod. There's obviously a new artwork. If you guys didn't know or it didn't clock, I did a birthday photo shoot. It was very impromptu. Not last minute, but it was like in the last week or two before my birthday. I was like, I want to do a birthday photo shoot. It's coming. Enter my 25th year in style, baby. So I worked with Shots by Gracie on this photo shoot. She was the photographer, the creative director. I also worked with Leslie from Les Studios. She did the first photo shoot that I did with Shots by Gracie. And we're like looking at pieces together because I had a vision in my head for the look. It's very hard to find good pieces in the men's fashion world or even in fast fashion. Even like, because my inspiration for one of the looks was WizKid's Made in Lagos artwork. I'm gonna get to WizKid like twice in this episode, but before we get into that, my inspiration for one of the looks, it was the blue short sleeve shirt with the white trousers from Velvet. I hope I said the company name of Velvere. I'm very bad at pronouncing names. Velvier. I think it's pronounced Velvier. I think it's pronounced Velvier, my bad. I had an idea for one of the looks, and it was the blue shirt with the white trousers from Velvier. A simple black shoe, and that's the same trousers that I wore with the pink blazer, also from them, and the brown shoes. So she really helped me find those pieces, but in terms of an idea that I was ready to do the Classic Manny looks. Like, this looks gave me Classic Manny. Like, it was very, very Classic Manny, and it came out very well. Shout out to everyone that was part of the photo shoot. Shots by Gracie. Mwah. An amazing babe. Like, I worked with her last year, as I said, with Les Studios, and I felt so comfortable with her doing the photos, and I just felt in my element with her. So I was like, you know what? This is a birthday shoot. I want it to go well. I want it to be iconic. I want it to shake the nation, you know? I want it to shake the nation. I wanted to do bits. We did a photo shoot at Cloud9 Studios. It's a brand new studio. Big, it's a big ass studio, by the way. There's different elements to it. There's the outdoor space. I think there are two rooms from what I remember. They have the iconic staircase area where the influencers do all their photo shoots as well. There's another space as well where they can take pictures. So shout out to Cloud9 Studios for the amazing customer service. It looks exactly how it does in the pictures. Mwah. Chef's kiss. There's a reason why there's platforms like BBC and ITV and influencers working in that space, so shout out to them. But I love that photo shoot so much that I decided to make one of the pictures the new cover art. I thought it's time to grow up, you know. Of course, I love the original cover art for the podcast, but like, you know what, I want to make it a little bit more classy, a little bit more mature. Like, we're showing growth here, baby. So big shout out to TDK Designs. Kept the text part of the original cover art onto this new version, and shout out to Shots by Gracie for the actual image itself. So yes, that's the new artwork. Of course, I won't be using the orange heart anymore. It's not gonna be blue because it needs to match the brand, you know what I'm saying? So I have to work on even the rebranding stuff after this recording anyway. But yeah, that is that. What have I been up to during this break? So I'm gonna start from the end of June, even though I think I recorded an episode afterwards, but I didn't get to speak about what happened in towards the end of June, leading to my birthday. Towards the end of June, I went out with my Clubhouse turned real life friends. I think Carl is one person that I knew before Clubhouse, but the rest of them, I met them and became close with them on Clubhouse. The escape room was so fun. Oh my God. We were just so dramatic. Everyone made it so fun. Temi Tops, Carla, Carta, Jade, Amira, they all made it so fun. They made it so fun. We were all being so dramatic, trying to put the clues together. Super duper fun. I'll definitely recommend it. I think we went to AIM London, but there's also Fox in the Box. Shout out to them as well. You can go to either or and have a good time. Afterwards, we went to Cotton's, which I think was my first time going to Cotton's, and the food was aight. You could tell there's a bit of gentrification in the food. Like, I don't feel the proper Caribbeanness, especially as someone that's Antiguan. I could not feel it in my bones, you know. I could not feel it. I didn't feel the Caribbeanness authentically. I didn't feel the authentic Caribbeanness of the food. But I think what the six of us can agree on is the fact that the cocktails, chef's kiss. Those cocktails were cocktailing, baby. We had a good time at Cotton's nonetheless. When it comes to things like this, sometimes the people that you're with can actually save the day. So being people that were good vibes, it was so fun. I don't think we really cared about the food being average. Of course, the cocktails definitely saved the day. And what also saved the day was the fact that these heifers had surprised me with cupcakes and also surprised me with a video compilation of birthday wishes from people that I've known on Clubhouse, known before Clubhouse, and it was so sweet. Now, the thing about me is this, I'm very emotional, but I don't cry in public. I try my hardest to avoid crying in public. Like, no one can say that they've seen me cry in person. Who has seen me cry in person? I think apart from family, I don't think anyone else has seen me cry in person. So I was definitely emotional deep inside. But for it to come out, I think it came out a bit late. Like, for me, I process my emotions very late. It might take even 10 minutes to 10 days. So I couldn't stop laughing. I think I was laughing to consider the fact I wanted to cry. So even looking at the video, I think I've posted it in my reel and I posted it on Twitter. I could not stop laughing because I was trying to use laughter to conceal my actual emotion, which was tears. So of course, I loved the video message. I loved the cupcakes. Funny enough, they asked my favorite cupcakes months ago for that reason. I said, God, you guys are sneaky. They created a whole group chat to get people to do the video compilation. Oh, shout out to everyone that was part of it. Like, I actually love all of them to bits as well. So thank you. I really appreciate it. When I got on my second train and I was alone, well, I wasn't alone, but when I was by myself with strangers around me, I could not control my eyes. Like, I was like, Lord, let the tears stay up. Let it stay up. Like, my eyes were watery. I said, God, like, because I've never had a birthday like that before. I've never had a birthday where people have gone hard like that for me like that. So that was on like the 27th or 29th, from what I remember. So the 1st of July, the day before my birthday, Cocktail Mania launched a space where people can buy takeaway of their cocktails. And let me tell you something. those cocktails, those are what you call cocktails, baby. Like, that one will have you want to take away the tails afterwards and go and collect the C word, the coquette. Big shout out to Nina, the owner of Cocktail Mania. Sweet woman, beautiful babe, amazing customer service. The jollof rice and chicken that her mom made for the launch, oh my god, I still dream of it to this day. It was just so sweet. It was so chef's kiss. Wow, god damn. So I went with Precious, of course, my babes. I love her to bits. And Precious had more plans the next day, which was my birthday. Precious gave me a location for me to meet her at, and of course I got there like 5 minutes late. The train will train in. So when I got there, she had clues that she had prepared for the day. The first clue linked to it being a self-care day, so I went to go and get my nails did, so I went to go and get a pedicure. It was just so relaxing, and it was just so beautiful. The next clue was something to do with a yacht, or to do with being in water. And I said, there's no way. I said, there's no, in the London? So we got in the cab, we got in the Uber, and we got to the location. I wish this was a visual podcast so that I can actually show you my reaction, but my jaw dropped. So we went to Sunborn Yacht Hotel. Actually, before I go into that, the spa place that we went to was Sip Nail and Spa. I think that's what it's called. Amazing customer service. We had, I think, Porn Star Martini. Was it Porn Star Martini? I think it was. I believe it was Porn Star Martini anyway. We had a drink. If you see it in my reel, you recognize it. So we had a bit of beverage, you know. I was talking to Precious about life. Got my feet done. It was just so fun. An amazing start to the day. So, as I said, we got to the location, Sunborn, London, which is a luxurious super yacht hotel. I was so stuck on the fact that, first of all, she's done this. This actually exists in London. I couldn't believe it. I said, goddamn. So, it was a very beautiful location. Went for afternoon tea. I disrupted the tea with cocktails because, you know, I like to live my life like it's golden. So... So I swapped the tea with cocktails, and it was just so beautiful. The sun was out. Precious was looking like a babe. I was looking cute as well. Well, I had an outfit. I was going to wear a silk shirt. But where I messed up was that I tried to put oil on my skin, and it was hot. So before I left the house, I was sweating. I said, there's no way I'm going out with a silk shirt with my body. I should have powdered myself instead of putting oils on my skin under the silk. So I had to wear the blue shirt that I wore for the photo shoot, which was luckily ironed, and I'd only worn it for the shoot. So I said, phew, I'm going to put that on right now and make my way. So that's what I ended up wearing. So Olu came to meet us around the location. We chilled for a bit, and it was just an amazing day. And outside of family, I can't say I felt this kind of love like this before. Like, it was so... like, this level of love that these friends showed to me for this birthday was unimaginable. Unbloody imaginable. And I'm just so thankful to them. Like, just to wait right now is making me emotional, so let's just move on quickly. I'm grateful to everyone that made it special in their own way, whether it was through Cash App, whether it was through their messages, gifts, their time. Thank you. Just, I appreciate it. So after that, I took a break. And one thing about me is this: I don't go out back to back to back to back like that. Like, but in terms of days, if I go out for a day or two, I'm resting for a good 2 weeks afterwards. So there was a big gap between my birthday celebration and Temi Tart's birthday celebration, which was towards the end of July. Fast forward to the end of July now. Thank God. This is where the enjoyment really, really, really began. It had been planned for weeks that we're going to be celebrating Temi Tart's birthday. We went to Cotton's, but it was a different location. I think I prefer this location in Vauxhall more than the other one. What was that one? Was it Victoria? I can't remember where the other location was. It Shoreditch? I think it was Shoreditch. Yeah, I think the first one I went to was in Shoreditch, and the other one was in Vauxhall. So the 10th birthday one was in Vauxhall. So we went there. Before that, me and the crew had planned to surprise her with cupcakes. So big shout out to Nova Bakery, who listens to the podcast. Big shout out to you. I know she's going to be surprised to hear this. But shout out to Nova Bakery for just being amazing. Amazing customer service. Delectable cupcakes and cakes. And treats in general, because she doesn't just do cupcakes and cakes. She does brownies, cookies. Mwah! Delectable. Big shout out to Nova Bakery, who brought the cupcakes in the day before. Now, I had to go and bring these cupcakes to the restaurant. I tried to get there on time, but there was traffic. And booking an Uber is so hard nowadays. Like, they're trying to either make us pay twice the original price, or they take forever. So I booked an Uber before. That was like £44. I said, blood of Jesus, to go to Come On and Vauxhall, £44. But they cancelled it, and they gave me one for half the price. I said, mwah, chef's kiss. I said, I know that's right. So I had to bring the cupcakes there, and I was afraid I was going to make it fall to the ground. So I said, let me take a cab instead of taking the train. With the help of Jade, I was able to put the cupcakes in the kitchen. And yeah, we had a great time. We saw more Clubhouse friends who have now turned to real life friends as well. Bolu Tatenda, Temi A, Tech, Dami. Hazel had seen her before at karaoke night, but love her to bits as well. Mira again, like, it was so fun. Now, the next part of the story is where things became fugazi, because I can't lie to you, we drank so much cocktails, because it was a bottomless cocktail brunch or whatever. So the cocktails were cocktailing. Oh my God. I think if you go to Amira, okay, I think I count on private, but Amira did a Instagram TV video of us in the beginning when we had our first cocktail to our last cocktail. Some of us had 15 cocktails. I think I had 10. Some had 15. They were mixing it with shots as well. Oh my God, we were fit to finish. Because I was having so much fun with them, I said, you know what? I didn't plan to go to Hoyo Boys. I was meant to even go to an event after, which I'm going to get to in a bit. I was not planning to go to 3 events, but I planned to go to a second event called Hoyo Boys, which is... I think it was a day party. Guys, we were finished. That train journey to Hoyo Boys, we were embarrassing. As in, I've seen some clips of us in people's close friends, and it's gonna stay dear. It's not gonna see the public eye, because goddamn, we had no behavior. We were fit to the niche. Finished. We were done out here. So yeah, we went, made our way there. I had to sober up very quickly, just not to put my friend's business out there, but one of my friends, yeah, they probably had a bit too much to drink, and we had to make sure they were good before we entered Hoyo Boys. So we had to just do some casualty, some light casualty, get them together, and then we can enter into Hoyo Boys. Hoyo Boys was so fun. I saw the whole timeline there, people that I like, people that I have blocked, people that I can't stand, but it was nice nonetheless. The people that were there for the most part were good vibes. But the end of Hoyo Boys, it finished at 9 o'clock. I knew that the Rolling Bowl finished at 1 o'clock. So I was like, you know what? Can I squeeze another event in? So I quickly checked on Google Maps how long it would take to get to the Rolling Bowl event. It was an 8 to 11 minute walk. I said, perfect, I'm a walk. In my condition, I'm going to walk. Okay, so I walked on my own to location, saw a couple people that I knew at the door. I said, okay, it was nice to see. I saw Shah, I saw Ray, Archie, and others as well. It was nice to see them. I entered now, and it was very overwhelming, because I don't know if people fucked with the podcast like this. I wasn't expecting that. I was already, my feet were so tired, because as I said, I was standing at Hoyo Boys, getting our life at the brunch for Temi's birthday. So I was finished, but I wish I got bowling tickets and I would have gone to the bowling earlier, because that looked super fun. It's Ro, Nana, DJ Taiyoku, I believe how you pronounce it, and Remy Berg. So shout out to them, my faves, love them all to bits. I want to say something, the queer people them are lit. Like, it was such a fun time. Everyone just felt so safe. People felt so safe, so comfortable to be them, to be their unapologetic selves. It was super duper fun. The music was lit. The people were lit. I made some new friends there. Shout out to Trina, Lyra and her babe. I didn't ask their name, but their at is baller_BM. Shout out to you as well. Why did I not ask for their name? Fuck. But Lyra's babe. Saw Cole. Who else did I see? Of course, I saw Remy. Remy Bergs picked me up. Remy Bergs hugged me and picked me up, and I got fanny flutters. How is a woman giving me fanny flutters? I said, what? Well, I need me a partner that can pick me up like how Remy picked me up. I said, God damn. Anyway, Tanya Compass, big shout out to you as well. Let me see. Twiggy. Twiggy and Martha. They are so... Oh, God. I fell in love. That's not my partners. I have no right to fall in love with them, because they're taken by Nana and Rose. But fuck, those four, they're all fine. Like, me and the Tayo and Adobe and the Trina, they're all beautiful. But because I've followed Twiggy and Martha for such a long time, it was my first time meeting them in person. I think they're even more beautiful in person. Like, what? I couldn't believe it. I said, God damn, so beautiful. So beautiful. Who else? I saw a lot of people, to be honest. There's more people that I met, but I can't find their app or remember their name at this moment. Me and names are the worst. But yeah, I had a jolly good time. I had a very good time. I have never been to three events in one go like this since when I was a kid. And when I was a kid, it was by force, because my family loved to do this kind of thing where they'll go to like three events in one night. So this is my first time doing it on my own as an adult. God damn, it was... It was busy. That has been my June / July. August, I've chilled a bit. Towards the end of August, we go again. Yes, I hope you guys have had a good time as much as I have as well. It's time for us to go into the classic fave, and I wanted to go into something a little bit different. I've spoken about artists for the most part, albums, singles, all that good stuff. I want to talk about someone who is a songwriter, singer, record producer, and actress, and this is Esther Dean. Esther Dean is someone that is behind a lot of our favorite classics that you might not even know of. We'll get into it in a bit. But Esther Dean, as I said, is an American singer, songwriter, record producer, and actress. She's known as the Song Factory because by 2012, she had written songs, and not just songs, but top 40 hits. Some that have gone to number one, top 10, top 5, top 20, top 40 for people such as Rihanna, Chris Aguilera, Usher. The list is endless. We're going to get to it in depth later on. So to make the story of her rise to fame short and sweet, from a young age, she expressed her emotions through songwriting and music in general. And as she grew up, she would sing for anyone that could hear it. Eventually, she moved from Oklahoma, where she was born, to Atlanta with only $500 to her name. After developing her craft in Atlanta, she moved to LA, Los Angeles, and eventually signed to Zone 4 Records / Interscope Records, which is one of the biggest labels in terms of pop culture as well. So in 2009, she dropped her first single, Drop It Low, which was a top 40 hit, peaking at number 38, and became her first US top 40 single. But for me, I think my focus point is her as a songwriter, because I was on TikTok a few years ago, and they did a compilation of songs that she's written, such as S&M for Rihanna. I'm getting ahead of myself right now, but that's something that's one song that I knew that she wrote for Rihanna, and then I did my Googles when I was younger. I've always been intrigued by people behind the music, so I knew that she was behind a lot of the hits. But see that compilation on TikTok and to know that she represents a whole era, like, it is just insane. So her big break came when she wrote Rude Boy for Rihanna, which went to number one on the Billboards. And she also wrote What's My Name, Where Have You Been, Where Have You Been All My Life, and so many Rihanna hits, which I'll get into a bit as well. She also wrote Firework for Katy Perry, Nicki Minaj, Super Bass, and co-wrote Pills and Potions. Pills and Potions, we're overdosing. Yeah, so it slaps. So as I said, the nickname, the Song Machine, she got that title by a journalist, I believe, got that title because by 2012 she wrote top 40 hits for Rihanna, Christina Aguilera, Florence and the Machine, Beyonce, Drake, Selena Gomez, Mary J. Blige, Kelly Clarkson, Ciara, Pussycat Dolls, Usher, Kelly Rowland, Britney Spears, Lil Wayne, just name a few. So I'm gonna go through the list of songs that she's written and list out my favorites. She wrote I Am for Mary J. Blige, which I love. Ciara's Never Ever featuring Young Jeezy. If that boy don't love you by now, he will never, ever, ever, ever love you. He will. That song slaps, by the way. That's Ciara in her prime. So Esme Dentez, Get Me Out of Here. That song slaps. Oh my goodness. As I said, she wrote Rude Boy for Rihanna in 2009. Pussycat Dolls, she wrote What You Think About That, What You Think About It. That features Missy Elliott. She also wrote J-Ho for the Pussycat Dolls. She wrote Not Myself Tonight, which is one of my favorite Christina Aguilera songs. Toy Soldier for Kerry Hilson and Lose Control / Let Me Down featuring Nelly. One song that I love, if you guys know this song, let me know using the hashtag TCN Show. Sean Kingston's Dirty Love featuring Nicki Minaj. Dirty, dirty, dirty love, love. I'm feeling like you're letting go. Oh, that song. What if you would just come right out of these clothes? We can find... Oh, stop it. Stop it. That song. It's been a fave since it came out. That song has followed me from when I was downloading songs illegally from my iPod to now that I'm using streaming platforms like Spotify. Super Bass for Nicki Minaj. Boom, ba-dum, boom, boom, ba-dum, boom, bang. Rihanna's What's My Name, S&M. She wrote Lay On Me for Kelly Rowland and I'm That Chick. I'm That Chick is an album track that I fucking love that song. I think, was it the introduction? I think that's the intro song of the album, I think. Lay It On Me featuring Big Sean. Lay it on me, baby, lay it on me, lay it on me. Already taken for Trey Songz, one of his best songs. She's also behind Beyonce's Start Over and Countdown. Start Over, that song is so beautiful. One of Beyonce's best songs. Amazing. Amazing. Countdown, amazing. She wrote Turn Me On for David Guetta and Nicki Minaj. She also wrote a lot of the songs on Talk That Talk, such as You The One, Where Have You Been, Talk That Talk, We All Want Love, Drunk On Love, Rock Me Out, Farewell, which I believe is the last song on the standard album, I think. Yeah, it's not a deluxe track. I think it's the last song. And she also did a deluxe track, Fall In Love. Like, guys, like that album, and it's not that she's written. I love those songs. Like, You The One That I Think About Today. You were the one, so I make sure of me. My love is your love is mine. You're some kind of crazy, that's what happens, baby. Oh, that's, like, Esther Dean, she's nobody's mate. She wrote Right There for Nicole Scherzinger. Right there, keep it right there. I love it when you put it right there. Yeah, yeah, whoa, oh, oh, yeah, nah, oh, oh, oh. Yeah, he liked the way that he touched my body. Sorry. Oh, that song slaps. What other song did she write? How Deep Is Your Love by Sean Paul featuring Kelly Rowland. How deep is your love? How deep does it go? Selena Gomez is Come and Get It. If you're ready, come and get it. Na, 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 na. You know what's so crazy? The song that she's written here, I can actually hear her voice in those songs. Sounds like Ed Sheeran. Like, the song that Ed Sheeran has written for people, such as, like, Love Yourself by Justin Bieber, I can hear Ed Sheeran's demo in my head. Even though I've never heard his demos before, I can imagine how Ed Sheeran wrote the song and the melodies and how he even sang it. Like, I can definitely hear that. She's behind a lot of the singing songs on Nicki Minaj's The Pink Prince, such as Pills and Potion. All things go, all things go. That song, I love that. All Things Go, amazing. The Night Is Still Young. The night is still young. The night is still young. And so are we. How dare we sit quietly and watch the world pass us by? No, we're just getting started, yeah, yeah. We're just getting started. Oh, that song is one of Nicki's best pop songs. Mwah! Pop rap, whatever it falls under. Amazing. Ugh, God, I love it. Grand Piano. The people are talking. The people are saying that you have been playing my heart like a grand piano. So play on, play on, play on. Oh, Nicki. Now, Nicki, that's, I can't lie to you. That is my favorite Nicki album. Now, it's just got the range. It's got the range and it's done so effortlessly. Like, what? The Pink Friday is a close second. Beam Me Up, Scotty has now become my third favorite. Now that I've got to listen to it properly since it came on streaming platforms. But I think those are my favorite projects from Nicki, the top three. And she also did I lie to keep you from breaking my heart. I'm doing all the I'm so annoying. The last song that she's written that I know personally and love is Ciara's Thinking About You. I've been thinking about you, wondering who's stuck in your head at night. That should have been Ciara's comeback song, but you know what? It's all well. Just to wrap it up, what I love about Esther Dean is the fact that she's behind a lot of my favorite classics that represents an unforgettable era. Like, that time in pop is just, I don't think it ever be topped. That can never be topped. So big shout out to Esther Dean. A legend. Like, she deserves that title of legend, because we would, a lot of our faves would not have number ones under their belt if it wasn't for her. Katy Perry, Rihanna, and those are my faves, but I'm not gonna come and give them the full credit now. Come on, it takes a team, it takes a village. Like, Rihanna, of course, Katy Perry, they've given us their vocals on the songs, but we need songwriters, we need producers, because it'll be a cappella. It'll be a cappella, and then it will not sell with a cappella. A lot of our favorite pop, R&B and hip hop songs, even the songs that I've infused with pop and R&B or R&B with hip hop, like, it will not exist without Esther Dean. So salute to Esther Dean. Mwah, you are a legend. And thank you. Like, literally, as a pop culture lover, thank you for just blessing us with hits, blessing us with timeless hits that represents a time in our lives, like, amazing. But let me know your thoughts on Esther Dean, and let me know your favorite songs that she's written or co-written. And also, a quick disclaimer, it doesn't mean that she wrote the song from start to finish, but she has a very big, significant part for a lot of these songs. Some of the songs, she's like one out of three writers, one out of two writers, or the only writer. Some, maybe she's one out of like five or six. But with Esther Dean, she has, I just know, just based on even how the artist sound, that she has a huge part in the writing and even the melody construction. Because I heard the S&M demo that she did. It sounds very close to the Rihanna version, if that makes sense. So she gives these artists a structure to follow, especially when it comes to the singing part. So big shout out to Esther Dean. So let us know your favorite Esther Dean song that she's written, co-written, produced, using the hashtag TCM show. It's now time for us to get into the releases that I've been loving since I've been off. I'm not going to get into the latest releases yet because I need to catch up. So I'm going to go through my favorite releases that I loved when I was not recording. So I spoke about Doja Cat's Planet Her album with Rhyme Sheet in the last episode, but during the time that I have been off the pod, guys, this album might be my favorite album of the year because it just sounds better and better and better after every listen. And my favorite song at the moment, as you guys may know from social media, Baby, I Need to Know, what it's like, baby, show me what it's like. I ain't really got no time. I just wanna fuck a night, yeah, yeah. Whoa, whoa, whoa. Baby, I need to know. You're exciting, boy, come find me. Your eyes tell me, girl, come ride me. No, she did not play with that song. She was in her broken bag. She was in her Teflon bag. Like, no, like, Amala slapped. Amala killed it. Amala destroyed the song. Like, I've also loved her Vivo performances as well. So she's done exclusive performances for Vivo, same with Ariana Grande as well. But with Doja, she did Love to Dream, Need to Know, and Ain't Shit. But apart from that, I've also loved Woman. Let me be a woman. Woman, woman, woman. I could be a... Oh, that song is a feel-good song. Like, that is an amazing album intro slash feel-good song. And it samples Urges and a song as well. I love Naked. I love, Get Into It, Yeah. I love Get Into It, Yeah. I love, of course, Need to Know. I Don't Do Drugs Yet. Ariana Grande skated on that song. So, baby, can you hit it from the back? Got me purring like I'm Doja Cat. Oh, no, no. Ariana Grande has been in her feature bag recently. Mwah, amazing. I love Love to Dream. Dream. My neighbors must think I'm a weirdo. From here, if they can hear me from next door, they think I'm a weirdo. I'm not. I actually like You Right. You Right. I got my guy. But I can't help it. I want you. I say You Right. I got my guy. But I can't help it, I want you. I just want you to the other way. I also love, A Been Like This is in my top 3 to 4. Since you've been like this, baby, I don't really want to be like this. What else do I love? I love Options featuring Jid. I said it in the previous episode, I love Alone. That was an immediate favorite. Kiss Me More. I did not know that SZA was... SZA was saying, give me a buck and that Gucci stuff. I thought she was saying, give me a fur in a Gucci store. I thought she was saying, give me a fur in a Gucci store. That's what I thought she was saying. Like, I need SZA to enunciate just a bit more. Save my goodness to Ariana Grande as well. I love them to bits. But enunciate a bit more because I should not be saying, give me a fur in a Gucci store. That's my thoughts on Doja Cat. A song that came out during my time off was Normani's single Wild Side featuring Cardi B. We can't just keep talking about it. We think too often about it. We can't just be conscious about it. I wanna get wild. Take me for a ride, boy. Show me your eyes, boy. Baby, wanna put up on you. Do-do-do. Sorry. You know what, yeah? It has got a lot of mixed reviews. I personally like the song. I will not say it's my top 5 song of the year. You know what, yeah, it might end up in my end of year top 10 because I played it a lot, but I wouldn't say it's a song that I feel in my spirit, you know what I'm saying? But it's a song that I like, I can play it, and I won't play this once, but it's not a favorite. Like, not how much I love Need to Know, like, baby, I won't be singing Save a Ride, but the same vim. No, I won't be singing that with the same vim, if that makes sense. So I like it. I think people have been very harsh on the money. It samples Aaliyah's One in a Million. Your love is a one in a million. It goes on and on and on. You give me. Sorry. I was in the spirit there. But yeah, it samples Aaliyah's One in a Million. And when I first heard the song, I couldn't help but think that it was a lazy sample. But the more I play it, I'm like, yes, it might be a tiny bit lazy in the production, but what gives it its own spin is actually Normani's vocals. Normani's vocals and delivery, and of course Cardi's verse, gives it a whole different feel. Like, it does sound the same in the foundation of it. How Normani spun it vocally and Cardi B's verse and the energy that she gave of it, yeah, it gave it a different flow. People are like, oh, why is Cardi on it? I feel like without Cardi, I don't think we'd have noticed that much of a difference in the sample. I love Cardi's verse, the suck a watermelon through a straw, D-Melo. I love the way she starts with D-Melo. Like, I feel like I'm a whole different person when that part comes. Like I start to... And of course, the visual was mwah, stunning. Easily one of the best visuals of the year, if not top two. And I wouldn't say it's number two. I can't think of a visual this year that has stood out to me like that. And I love how Cardi supported the song. Like, Cardi, I think I was watching the Instagram live when they're promoting the song, and they alluded to the fact that there's a lot of issues behind the scenes. So you can tell that Cardi's had a lot of say. Cardi's given a lot of encouragement to Normani. She has really encouraged her to just not be in her head too much, because I know being a creative is not easy. I'm gonna get to in a bit as well, but being a creative is not easy. So I completely understand where Normani was at. Normani did her press run for the single in the beginning of the release, and she spoke about how her mum was not well. Her mum was going through chemotherapy because she had cancer again. Her mum was going through chemotherapy whilst recording this project, so I could only imagine what she was going through mentally and emotionally whilst creating this project. But yes, I think I've got a very long list of songs to get through. I might split some for today and some for next week's episode. Yes, I like Wildside. It's doing bits on social media, but my issue is her team. Like, we spoke about Normani in the previous episode. I wasn't even aware that there was going to be a single of feeders after that. But in the previous episode, we spoke about how her team is just, ugh. And you can tell from what Cardi is saying and how Cardi has put her songs into her own that, yeah, that label is not doing what it meant to do. But it is well with our soul. What else have I been liking? I also, okay, Ray Black featuring Cash Page, M.I.A. Running off with M.I.A. Okay, with Ray Black, I'm gonna be very honest. And you know what? I know when it comes to being, when it comes to giving our thoughts on UK artists, people don't want us to be blunt or to be to the point, but I want to be to the point because I've kept this thought to myself for a while. So I was introduced to Ray Black through my previous job, actually. My previous job, I was working in retail. And of course, as I said before in old episodes, I was that person that was putting my phone up in the air, Shazamming songs that I liked, that I didn't know who was singing. So one time I heard a song, run, run, what's a run, run, I'm like, who is this? So I Shazammed the song, lo and behold, it was Ray Black. And that was my first time being introduced to her. I love there was a message behind the song, but it also felt authentic sonically. So I was like, oh, I like this woman. But as the years went by, I began to feel very disconnected as a listener. I can't lie to you. And if I'm being honest, it was a thing where it didn't feel authentic anymore, sonically. Even if it was lyrically, like, I know Dark Skinned came out before M.I.A. Even though I don't think the song was even meant for me, I think it meant for the ladies, of course, or dark-skinned women specifically. Dark-skinned black women specifically. Not these people don't want to come and do blackfishing. The dark-skinned black women, I know it's made for them, but even sonically, I did not think it felt like Ray Black. I don't know if maybe the old Ray Black was not the authentic one, maybe this is the authentic one now, but I think as a listener, the most authentic Ray Black was that Ray Black then. And of course, you can evolve. Of course, you can you can be inspired by the current trends and sounds, but when you're losing your sound, even how you deliver your vocals, yeah. Because the last one that I liked before this one was Action featuring Chip, whatever you want to refer to him as, Chip, yes. I love that song because she was singing, but it was a current sound. But it got to a point when she was doing this like sing rappy thing. You know about Beyonce as well. I'm not the biggest sing rap fan when it comes to Beyonce. There's times where she does it and it slaps. Like, I to the top of the Maybe, I to the top of the Maybe, yeah, to the top out of my Maybe, I to the top out of my Maybe, bitch. I'm doing the Coachella version or Beachella version. And now that it took even Beachella for me to like that song. I hated that song before even Beachella. So that's I'm not a fan of people. I don't think Ray Black does it poorly, but I don't think it's authentic. That's my thing. And maybe she's done it before, I've never heard it before, but the main sound, I don't know. I thought I was the only one until I tweeted it and I had private conversations about this. And people were saying the same thing. I was like, no, I thought it's not just me, Sha, because I thought I was being a hater. And that's the thing about giving opinions about UK artists, because I can be so free about American artists, I don't think that we hear it. But I think because we're such in close proximity to each other in the UK, that I could probably bump to Ray Black on the roadside. I can bump to her in DLT. That's how much we can be in close proximity with each other. So for me, yeah, it's a thing where I'm like, okay. So, but with MIA featuring Cass Page, this was the first time in a long time that I felt like this is authentic. The song samples the barges Stay With Me. It is so beautifully done. It's so beautifully done. Like, this sounds like a song that I would expect from Ray Black. It has a classic sample. She's singing for us. It's up tempo. It's fun. It's just, oh, so authentic. And I really like Cash Page. Like, Cash Page has been on a lot of songs recently that I've been liking. She's on Tinashe's album. I might talk about Tinashe's album in the next episode. But yes, Ray Black's song, I love it. It's even in my own repeats playlist. Cash Page's contribution to the song is just amazing. Love the song to bits. Lil Nas X's Industry Baby featuring Jack Harlow. Now, Lil Nas X, that fine specimen. His last few releases, I have been fucking with it heavy. Montero is my least favorite, but I still like it. But it's not a song that I listen to on Spotify. It's a song that I don't mind bopping to when I hear on TikTok and the reels. Like, call me by your name. Tell me you love me, Brian. Call me. Oh, lovely song. It's a nice song. I might give it another spin today and see how I like it now. But I've not played that song on Spotify in a while. I love them. I wanna run away, no one will lie, I don't wanna lie. Is it Sun Goes Down, I believe that's what it's called? Yeah, I like that song. But this Industry Baby, ooh, Industry Baby has me excited for the project. I have not been as excited for Lil Nas X as an artist until this release. Like, what? I couldn't believe it. So I believe the song is produced by Kanye. Yeah, the song is produced by Kanye and Take a Day Trip. He is also, hold on, Kanye is also a co-writer on the song. Kanye, Jack Harlow, and Montero are part of the writers, along with Denzel Baptiste. That name sounds very familiar. Denzel Baptiste sounds very familiar. I'll have to look at that in a bit. David Burrell and Nick Lee are the co-writers on the song. No, I like this song. I like this song. I told you long ago, not ago, tell me what you're looking for. Like, I love it. And I've never been a fan of Jack Harlow. But after this song and seeing him in the visual, that guy is a cutie. He's not, I would not go there, you know my preference. But I can appreciate a handsome guy. Like, Jack Harlow's a handsome guy and I like his delivery on his verse. Amazing collaboration. It slaps severely. It definitely slaps. Yeah, big shout out to Lil Nas X, and he's been through a bit in this industry. Like, people are trying to make him water himself down. Fuck y'all. Who the fuck are you people? Respectfully. No, disrespectfully. Focus on your own. How about it? Anyway, yes, shout out to Lil Nas X. Just killing it right now. The last song I want to get into before I move on, because I've spent a lot of time talking today. Willow's Transparent Soul / Lately I Feel Everything album. I don't fucking know if it's a lie or it's a fact. Like, you know what? For me, that Willow tapping into her rock bag, I never explored it, but it makes so much sense. Like, Transparent Soul. I don't fucking know if it's a lie or it's a fact. I'm running for some cash. What? That song is one of the best songs I've heard. It's one of the best songs of 2021. It's so authentic. Of course, we've had songs from Willow in the past, the pop songs, she's going to R&B a bit. But for her to go into rock and do it so effortlessly. It's clear to me now. It's clear to me now. No. And the album itself is such an easy album to listen to. If I go into the album, I had a few faves. In the album, my favourite songs were Lipstick and Naive. I love Naive, Lipstick. I also loved... Oh, my phone just dropped. Yeah. So my favourite songs on the album are, of course, Transparent Soul, Naive, Lipstick, Extra. My other favourite song is Grow featuring Avril Lavigne. Like, do you know what it means to get Avril Lavigne out of retirement? I have not heard of that woman in a hot minute. You guys, she got Avril Lavigne out. And of course, it has Travis Barker, who is also on Transparent Soul and Gaslight. Oh, an amazing project. It is an amazing project. As I said, such an easy listen. It's 26 minutes long. Amazing. Shout out to Willow, just doing amazing things. I think I will leave it here for now, and I think it's a perfect way to transition into the trending topics. And I'm going to quickly talk about Justin Bieber featuring on the Essence remix. So the remix was announced the day before it came out, which was the first day. It came out on Friday the 13th, and there has been a lot of thoughts on social media. So for me personally, I am not a fan of this remix sonically. I want to make that very clear, sonically. Now, let's start off with the song itself. Okay, let's start off with what they gave to us. So, Justin Bieber gave us a verse, and he gave us the hook again. That's all he gave to us, basically. And I think that's where my problem begins, anyway. My problem is that the song didn't really need a remix. If I'm thinking about it right now, the song, let's take away the success. The song Essence itself as the song, forget about the charts for now. Let's just talk about Essence as a song. Before lockdown was lifted, before it started charting on the charts, did you guys really think Essence needed a remix? That's the first question. Secondly, with Justin Bieber's verse, it was not enough for it to be a solid remix for me. I'm not a Justin Bieber hater. Yes, I might not fuck with his recent projects. I don't think it's been the best. But when I listen to Justin Bieber, even on Purpose, which is probably my favourite album from him, Justin shows that he can give us more than what he gave on this song. I think the focus was so much on commercial success that I don't think giving us a quality remix was their priority or their focus point. It would have made more sense for Justin Bieber to even do the back and forth with Thames. So the, give me all you need, give me all you need. I can hear his voice on that even more than the hook. Verse was all right. It was not bad. I'm not gonna come and say it was bad, but it just felt rushed. It just felt like they could have given a little bit more vocal layering, a little bit more harmonies, like let it feel like a remix. Like, I'm gonna hear the wicked, wicked one. That for me was a cover. It was a cover of a song. Like, you know what people do on TikTok and Reels when people just take the instrumental and do that and is a cover? That's what it was. That was not a remix to me. I'm so sorry. What he did on Essence, the remix, was an approval of a cover. That's what I think it was. I don't think that was a remix. That was not a remix because there was not much difference. Yeah, he sang the hook and he added a verse. That was it. It's not just on Justin Bieber. It's everybody in general. I'm so bored of remixes nowadays. Like even the 34 plus 35 remix with Megan and Doja, there was not much of a difference. It's new verses. Like what? Like, it did not give me much. Like, I've not played that song. I've not played the 34 plus 35 remix since the first week it came out. That's my issue. I feel like I know what they wanted with this. It makes sense. The song has charted to the top 60 without the remix. So I know that with the remix, with Justin Bieber's numbers, yes, it makes sense. But that is not the only focus point. We're not listening to the song thinking of numbers. We're listening to the song thinking, does it sound nice? Does it sound complete? It just sounded so basic. It was very basic, if I'm being honest with you. And people should be allowed to give that critique. We know how the industry works. I think even those that don't know music like that will know, yes, the song is charting in America in top 60. With Justin Bieber, it's going to be in top 15, top 10, top 5. Before you even know it, I get it, fine. But Essence is, that song is just, well, do I even overplay, that's one thing. But That song is such a quality song. To be frank with you, I don't give a fuck about Justin Bieber's numbers. Like, yes, he has his numbers, but his numbers have not even been like how it was back in the day, if I'll be honest with you. Like, yes, he's one of the biggest stream artists, but this is not Justin in his prime. Like, it was talking about Justin years ago. Even that, I would not want him on Essence. But there's other people that have a name, that have the numbers, that would make more sense. People say Rihanna. Yeah, I can hear Rihanna on the song. I can hear Rihanna. I can hear Rihanna on Essence Remix. I can hear a lot more people on Essence Remix than Justin Bieber, to be honest. I can hear more people on Essence, if there was to be a remix that we loved, than Justin. But yes, we understand the purpose. For me personally, I will not be streaming the remix anytime soon. Thank you very much. But yes, let me know your thoughts on the remix, if you like it, if you don't like it, using the hashtag TCM show. People don't get that two things can be true at the same time. Yes, Justin Bieber being on the song is beneficial to Wizkid. Or it's beneficial to the song. I feel like it's even taken away from the hard work that Wizkid has done. Like, Wizkid has, the song charted before even the remix was even announced. For people to know, this song has done well through TikTok and Reels alone. So I don't want people to be taking that credit away from Wizkid and his team, because they create a fucking amazing album. Made in Lagos sounds amazing till this day, till this minute. People were fighting for Wizkid tickets, baby. We're fighting for Wizkid tickets. Like, I had to go and buy a ticket from a follower who bought spare tickets for people that were hopefully trying to get tickets, because she knew the game. She knew how to get tickets. She knew how to get into the queue on time. So what? I snatched those tickets. I paid quick. I said, thank you, darling. Mwah. Just kiss. So shout out to my babes. Amazing babe. But yeah, like, Wizkid is high demand right now. Let's not come. And my issue is that I don't want people giving Justin Bieber the sole credit for this. Don't do that. What he added to the song was his name. Respectfully, he added his name, not a verse that I want to sing with Chess at the club, no, or at day party. I don't want to sing that song. And to be honest with you guys, yeah, Essence not even the best song on Made in Lagos. I think we need to give some of the songs attention as well. We've got Roma, we've got Mighty Wine, Blessed, Gyrates, we've got Ginger. Let us enjoy some of the other songs as well. Let us enjoy others. Like, god damn. But commercially, as I said, I understand. I get it. I think we know how remixes work, especially in this day and age. We've seen it time and time again. Remixes that make no sense. What I've understood recently is that remixes are for commercial success. Like, even, I'm sure remixes have always been for commercial success, to be honest. Because I don't think labels will invest in having more artists on a song that are probably expensive to get on for no reason. Where my issue lies is the fact that nowadays, it's now become 95% about the commercial success and 5% about the compatibility between the artists that are on the songs. Like, how the hell is Post Malone, Jack Harlow, and the Bomberclaat on Tap In by Saweetie? Like, what are they tapping in? Their Oyster card? Is it, like, it doesn't make sense. Like, what? It does not make any sense. Like, fuck. That's what I hate. Again, as I said, Justin Bieber's verse was a cover. It was a cover that was approved by the label and was released. That's what it is. It's not a remix. But it's going to help the song. Amazing stuff. I agree. Two things can be true at the same time, as we keep on saying all the time. Anyway, let me know your thoughts on the hashtag TCM show. The Bomberclaat, I didn't have a chance to talk about him because I was not recording an episode during that time. But I really wish I was, but now's the time. This fool, so the baby was performing at a festival. And number one, he brought out Tory Lanez. Leprechaun. That was a problem in itself. And before that, there was an issue where what happened to that situation? Basically, it got to a point where he was shading Megan, and that was the first time something shady had happened involving the baby. So I think there was one time when they were on the live, I think they're promoting the Crybaby visual, and I think he thought that the live had gone off, and his friend was insulting Megan's looks, and he did not, like, nip it in the bud. I think that's a big problem in itself, when friends don't check their friends when they do stuff like that. But again, it makes sense because they're birds of a feather. So why would he check his friends whilst he's using Megan for hits? Anyway, that's neither here nor there. So that's happened now, and he's now chosen to side with Leprechaun. So he's performing at a concert. He's brought out Tory Lanez. So during that set as well, he decided to make some misogynistic and homophobic comments. He brought up HIV. I wanted to quote it because I don't like to paraphrase what people say, but basically he came for women and he also came for the LGBTQIA community. And yeah, his ass was handed to him post that situation. It got to the point where Elton John and Madonna, from the point that you have Elton John and Madonna speaking out, they've come up hibernation. Like, Elton John had left his piano. He's left his grand piano for you to come and check your ass. You got Madonna leaving her sons and her daughters to come and check you. These are legends. And of course, Dua Lipa spoke up saying about how she's not expected from someone that she's worked with. And at first, the baby was doing guy. He was thinking that he was a guy. So like, he felt like he was irreplaceable, that he can't be checked. But then when Boohoo Man started dropping him now, and when the festival started dropping off the list, that's when the guy's tune began to change. And it was like, oh, I appreciate those that have spoken to me with kindness. Fuck you. Disrespectfully, fuck you. How can you attack women and attack communities and expect respect and kindness? Respect is earned. He sounds like Black Elders when they disrespect people and then expect respect back. No, you're not going to get that respect. What? Like, it was so unprovoked. Like, he did not know who he was triggering in that place. He is very disgusting. People like the baby are very disgusting. Then you have T.I. That little nasty piece. The one that should focus on his cases. Boy. Focus on being a good husband, being a good father. Stop checking your daughter's hymen. And leave the community alone. So, like, oh, if Lil Nas X can be... If Lil Nas X can talk about sex or being gay, then what? Correlation where? No. It shall not be well. Because how dare you? That is just sick. And you know what? Something that I was saying on the TL that I think I would like to address is this whole... people only listen to the LGBTQI community. Let me tell something about us as a community. Because, yes, remember, it's very ignorant because there are Black LGBTQIA people in the community, first of all. So, we are part of the issue. We are stuck between Black issues and the issues with the LGBTQIA community as well. So, that's the first thing. Number two, what I can say about the LGBTQIA community is this. We might not agree on a lot of things. We might be a little bit segregated. Like, the Black gays might be a little bit separate from the white gays, yada, 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 whatever. We might not relate. There might be our own issues within our community. But one thing that we don't overlook as a community is discrimination and disrespect. We will come together to gather your ass. But the issue that I have with the Black community, and I can say it as a Black person, is the fact that we do not come together as a community for a lot of things. Like, the whole mega situation, there are Black people that are still streaming the baby, that are still streaming Tory Lanez. To the point that Tory Lanez, someone sent me something to do with him selling out some for the first time. He beat a world, like he's done a new record. Like, I think he's released an EP and he sold copies, like a million copies in a time, whatever. I can't remember the actual stats. But the fact that people are allowing Tory Lanez to even reach new records, that is the problem, and we contribute to this. R. Kelly, how many years, how many decades did it take for our own people to even begin to cancel R. Kelly? And I can't say he's even been cancelled, because that man was even being played at Cottons. He was being played at Cottons 2 weeks ago. Do you understand me? Like, and people, and I can't answer you, before I realized it was R. Kelly, I was even singing. I forgot it was R. Kelly. I realized mid-singing, I was like, I said, God, hold my mouth, Lord Jesus. I had to hold my own mouth and Manny, stop. Like, that's the thing. He's still being played. People are still playing my cookouts. Tory Lanez, he was still being streamed. The product that he dropped after he shot Megan, people were streaming it. I saw people sharing it on their stories, and they were Black. It was some Black women, and it was some Black men. So you can't be upset that the LGBT community were heard, because the thing about us is that we make the most noise. We make noise. The thing about our community is that there are people that are pick-me's in the community that will not speak up for their own issues in the community. There are people that are misogynistic, just like these people. There are people that want to cause women harm that are supporting these people. So with all that being said, it's very unfair to say that, oh, it's only the LGBTQ communities that are being heard. We shouldn't have to be attacked to be heard. We shouldn't have to be attacked. People are bringing up about sexuality. So, oh, if you didn't suck a man's dick before you came on stage, make something. Like, what? We are being policed. We're being attacked. Verbally, physically. So it's not like, oh, we're just chilling there doing nothing, going through nothing, and then we're being heard. We're also going through shit. And the thing is that it starts with us. When it comes to cancelling people or collectively making decisions to not stream people, we don't do that. Because they're still getting the streams. Like, I have personally blocked Tory Lanez on Spotify. I have blocked The Baby on Spotify. But I can't say a lot of people that I know have blocked Tory Lanez and The Baby on Spotify. That guy has got the same flow. He's a one-trick pony, but people can't even let that go. You know, so I think it starts with us. It starts with us as a community. So I think it's not fair to compare, if I'm being honest with you. But that's just my thoughts. That is just my thoughts. But I think I want to end it here. Because this episode has gone on for too long. The episode has gone on for too long. I can't lie. The episode has gone on for way too long. But I'm so happy to be back. I'm really happy to be back on the pod. I'm going to try and be as consistent as possible. I'm trying to sort out guests for the podcast. If you'd like to be a guest on the pod, feel free to message me. Because I feel like if you're hearing me say this right now, you know what the pod is about. If you know you're into pop culture, you've got a story to share as well, message me and we can arrange something. Of course, yes, bear in mind, a podcast is not like YouTube where you can do like a 10-20 minute video. If you want to come on the pod, you need to be able to have a conversation, be able to know how to converse, be open as much as possible, all that good stuff. But yes, if you enjoyed this episode, don't forget to use the hashtag TCM show. Don't forget to leave a review and rate the podcast if you're an Apple podcast listener or have an Apple product where you can actually access Apple. You can leave a review. Don't forget to share the episode on social media. Don't forget to share on social media. Follow me on social media, TheClassicManny on Twitter, TCManny HQ on Instagram and Twitter, TheClassicManny on Instagram and TikTok. But most importantly, don't forget to always do you and be unapologetic. And thank you for the support always. Love you guys. Bye. I'm a classic man.